This is The Heat Source, the podcast where we learn everything we can about hot sauce, one bottle at a time. We are your hosts, Mike and Matt, and today we're trying Smoked Ghost Taco by Jersey Barn Fire. Let's heat up! Welcome back to The Heat Source, where we learn about new sauces weekly, one bottle at a time. This week, we are taking the recommendation of Cast Iron Kyle, who was the first one to bring this up to our attention. They've been at the Philly show that they hosted. They've been over in the on the East Coast. That they're a staple at the New York City Hot Sauce Expo. We are trying Jersey Barn Fire Hot Sauce, their Smoked Ghost Taco. And I'm just going to say right now, I've been anxiously waiting for a new taco sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I just ran out of La Muerte, which was my hotter taco sauce. I had a few others that kind of were like, it works with the taco, but it's not perfect for it. I was actually thinking about Galactic Hobo and their taco sauce. And I was like, maybe I should get a bottle of that, their gringo sauce. But yeah. This one, it's an award-winning sauce. And it's a company that has actually, I don't know how I didn't hear of Jersey Barn Fire earlier. But I'm glad that Kyle had brought it to our attention because I'm excited. We have a few bottles of theirs, but I'm excited about this one.
Five flames on there. This could be a real hot one.
Is it five flames? Oh, yeah, it is.
I don't know if you realize what you set us up for.
I mean, I'm ready for it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm cool.
We haven't had a ripper hot one in a long time.
I was thinking about we should get some more intense ones, at least once we hit the new year.
Get some reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it works out well where we're doing this episode before. We're having Cast Iron Kyle on potentially next week, but in the next week or so. We have this sauce that he recommended. We'll try this one, and then we'll get to talk to him next week.
To the listeners tomorrow.
Who knows? Maybe you're listening to these back-to-back. Maybe you listen to it today, and maybe you're in 2050 looking back in the archives of the greatest...
That's weird to think about.
...greatest hot sauce review discussion-based podcast in the Midwest. I think we count as Midwest over Spill the Sauce only because Roddy's in Philly. So
that East Coast.
Yeah, half of theirs is Midwest.
Yeah.
But before we get into talking about the history of the brand, talking about the sauce, tasting it, all that fun stuff, I have a couple fun games that we always play. Ones that you love. You aren't as familiar with NBA basketball as I am, just a little bit different in the knowledge there. So I'm going to list a person, and you're going to tell me if you think this is a hot sauce maker or this is an NBA player. Are you ready to begin? I need to get music for this.
Da, 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 da. Like the start of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, something like that.
Hit me with it.
So we're going to go with Earl Monroe. I wanted to enunciate it weirdly because I did that earlier.
A 1960s basketball player. 100%.
You seem very confident.
Earl Monroe sounds like a leading scorer.
Earl Monroe, a.k.a. Earl the Pearl Monroe, a.k.a. Black Jesus, Black Magic, Einstein, the Lord's Prayer, Thomas Edison, or the Magic Man, was in fact, it'd be crazy if it was a hot sauce maker at this point, in fact an NBA player. He played for New Jersey, he played for New York, so I figured with Jersey Barn Fire being on the East Coast.
So I feel like...
Have you ever seen the movie He Got Game?
No.
Denzel Washington in He Got Game talks about how he named his son Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, you call me a biblical name. It's like, it's not biblical. Named you after Earl Monroe. And there's this little clip where it splices in highlights of Earl Monroe. And I was like, that was my first introduction to him. And I was like, well, now we got to watch all the highlights.
What year was that?
He Got Game?
No, the Earl.
Oh, it was, I think he was 60s or 70s, if I remember correctly.
Nice.
One of the top 75 greatest NBA players of all time.
The nicknames, though. Like, Black Jesus sounds like a modern nickname. That does not sound like a 1960s nickname.
Well, and Larry Bird tried to give Michael Jordan Black Jesus because when Jordan dropped 63 on them in a playoff game, like in his like second or third year, Larry Bird was basically, playing against a guy that was gifted by God or something.
Yeah.
But he was, 60s into 70s.
Nice.
But yeah, so he played for...
I had zero knowledge of that. That just hit me as something 1960s.
Yeah, technically, it wasn't New Jersey. It was the Baltimore Bullets back in the day.
Okay.
So, which both the city and the mascot are no longer a part of the NBA. But yeah, and then played for the Knicks. Hall of Famer, four-time All-Star, NBA champ, Rookie of the Year, 75th anniversary, you know, top 75 player, All-NBA in 69. Nice. Only 6'3".
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
That's the thing is back then, like, you didn't need to be, I mean, there were so many pure shooters back then. And it wasn't about just, like driving to the hole and like finishing with a dunk. So like you could finish, look at Kyrie Irving now. I mean, you're familiar with Kyrie Irving. He can finish in the lane over anybody. So.
Yeah. It's funny. Like his nicknames. I like how there's all these fancy ones. And then they just threw in an Einstein and they threw in a Thomas Edison.
Yeah. And that I've heard Earl the Pearl is the most common. Black Jesus is probably the next one. And then maybe Black Magic or Magic Man. I'd never heard Thomas Edison before. But I do like how they have the nicknames.
That is funny.
So there you go. Look at, man, I think the last few you've said with confidence, and you've been correct. So you're doing great.
On accident,
I'm telling you, one, I just need an NBA player to make a hot sauce, so either you're, no matter what, you're right, or no matter what, you're wrong. But nobody's stepped in there. Ed Sheeran stepped in there. Motley Crue stepped in there. All these other, Steve-O, all these other groups have stepped into hot sauce. But for some reason, NBA players.
The one Steve-O hot sauce I saw was just him pouring it in his eye.
Yeah. He does that. He does that quite a bit.
It's like, oh, that's cool. He does hot sauce, dunks it in his eye. I'm like, oh, that's what he uses it for.
The other item that we have to do, which we'll probably finish this up at the end of the year. I don't know if we'll bring this into the new year. But you have stated that there's at least 50 other places you'd prefer over Subway to eat at. Not saying you won't eat at Subway, just saying it's not your first through 50th preference. So we're just making a compiling list of places that you would prefer to eat over Subway. Last week was Pizza Hut.
It was. I'm probably going to catch a lot of heat for this one. Little Caesars.
I 100% back that up because I love Little Caesars.
A fresh Little Caesars is good. Their crazy bread is good.
Here's what I'll say.
When you reheat it the next day, there's better options out there, but still better than Subway.
Here's what I'll say. Yeah, if you get a make-ready or a hot-and-ready pizza where you're like, this is, you know, been in there for who knows how long. All you're looking at is like, okay, like this could have been sitting in the warmer for a while and it gets dried out. But if you order it ahead of time, you're going to have a good fresh pizza. Also, yeah. So
that's awesome.
So we had...
Wait, it's stuffed crazy bread crust?
So it's a stuffed cheese crust with crazy bread, Parmesan and butter and all that on the outside edge. So we got that with a cheese pizza for my daughter's birthday party this weekend. And yeah, it's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Like,
it does sound amazing.
It is a next level thing. So Little Caesars going on the list as part of your places you prefer over Subway. Maybe the last episode of the year, we'll just do like a quick rundown of all the places. And I only think we have like 25 or so. I mean, I think we started it.
I was going to say, at this point, we just need to tag Subway in that list.
Yeah, be like, Subway, step your game up above these places. Most of them are pretty well known.
On the 51st restaurant, I'll say Subway.
Be like, where would you eat over Subway? Be like, you know what? You know, this is where they're at. Yeah. Subway, good job. You're now my option. So that is the games we like to play to start off the episode. Let's crack into the smoked ghost taco. It says, scary good on all your Mexican food, eggs, fries, and more. I am excited. The ingredient list, tomatoes, white vinegar, water, apple cider vinegar, sugar, smoked ghost pepper, salt, spice, garlic powder, onion powder, and xanthan gum.
I saw the double vinegar in there. I'm excited about that.
I mean, I'm not sure what the main benefit is. I'm doing that. I mean, I love the flavor of apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
The white distilled vinegar has a very sharp bite to it. I'm sure you don't want, maybe you wanted to mellow out a white vinegar and give it a little bit of something. I've seen that with a few sauces. I feel like Sam's done that from Sam's Sauce too. This is a full tab, so there's no perforation.
Still a better crinkle than some.
Yeah.
This is weird, but I'm going to blame it on culture. My paternal grandma, she would make like crocked pickles every year. She would do like dilly beans, crocked pickles, jalapenos, banana peppers. Oof, smells like a taco sauce. And when she would make the brine for him, you know, I don't know the exact ratio of anything, but just white vinegar, ton of salt, I think alum, boil it all up, get a real salty, vinegary thing. And then she would just give us, me and my brothers, well, not my little brother, he was a picky eater, but me and my older brother, we would just get a shot glass of like the pickle brine before she actually added anything to it. So we would just, you know, take a shot of salty vinegar, and we loved it.
I mean, I used to do like swigs of like pickle juice for after like a workout to help with like cramps and stuff. Because that's good for like post-workout. I like it. I've done shots with pickle juice and rum in it before, called a Stinky Pirate. If you like pickle juice, it's good. If you don't like pickle juice, it's not good.
I love pickle juice. So this was just pickle juice without the pickles. It was just salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
It was good, but
that's all you need.
Yeah. Polish background. I'm going to blame it on culture that we took shots of vinegar and salt when we were kids.
So I'm going to tell you right now, this smells amazing. I'm getting like the spices, like the cumin, garlic.
My nose is already running from laughing just now.
A little bit of tomato. Ooh, very smooth pour. This one's definitely a muffin topper. Can hold its weight on the spoon. It looks like a very nice dark red taco sauce. All right, let's give this a try. Yep. Good kick. The heat is, you know, kicking the back of my throat.
It's really good.
But it has like that tomato, the onion, the garlic, cumin. I mean, it's what you want from a taco sauce.
Very classic taco sauce.
Yeah.
Dang, that's good. It's not as hot as I thought it was going to be.
Has a decent warmth. If you're putting it over a dish, it'll dispense a little bit. For me, it's kicking the back of my throat. I don't know if I just like if it got back there too fast, but it does taste.
But that amazing. Is really good. Oh man, we should accidentally do wet burritos today.
I was thinking about that. That when I saw cool. that we were opening this, I'm just like I'm gonna need some tacos.
Dang, that is really good.
I could see it going really good on eggs as well. Oh, yeah. Whether you do eggs in like a
anything breakfasty,
whether you do breakfast taco or just eggs and toast and bacon, and just want to mess this up with it. It reminds me of I put El Perro Fortunato, which isn't a specific taco sauce, but has some of the same elements.
Mm-hmm.
That went really well with breakfast.
Yeah.
I think it's just because that the tomato base of it just lends itself to a lot more. Because even though it has two vinegars, you're not getting a very vinegar, like Amigos that we did last week, very vinegar forward.
Mm-hmm.
Sharpness of the vinegar. And we liked that sharpness of the vinegar. But this one, you have two different vinegars in there. They're in there, but they're not overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is my excuse just to have Taco Tuesday and also Taco to Wednesday and Taco to Thursday. I don't know why I did the T in front of the TH. But let's get into a little bit of the history of the sauce here. So this company, I'm going to be honest, I was not tracking this company when we first started this podcast a year and a half ago now. And when then Kyle brought it up, I thought, oh, cool, another new brand. Do you want to know when this company started?
2007.
Don't know why you... That was like Harrison Ford's German accent attempt in... I want to see the tapestries.
What was that from?
From the third one. From The Last Crusade.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we came in and was trying to be like an art designer or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, terrible accents by both of us. Anyway, 2012, this whole idea started.
Hmm. Close. So
I went back on their Instagram. Their first Instagram post on their current page was 2015. And I'm like, oh, started in 2015. But their first, like, or second post was the bottle with the label and all that. And I'm like, it's pretty well established on your first post or two. Went back, read a few articles about them, and got a lot more context on. So 2012 is when they started, but they actually have known each other. So this is, and I apologize if I butcher the names. So there's Austin Dalmita and John Sacelli. So they knew each other growing up.
Mm-hmm.
They grew up in the same area over there on the East Coast. And grew up as friends, and then over time kind of drifted apart. They actually, Austin actually met his wife, Melissa, at a party that John hosted. So that's kind of the connection, you know, not where they first met, but that's kind of a connection that grew. And then ironically, in 2012, Melissa had reached out to John through Facebook to reconnect and see how he was doing. So, you know, they helped you know, one helped the other meet his wife. The you know, his wife then helped them reconnect in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
John was at the time an executive pastry chef at Maritime Park, and Austin was a heating and air conditioning mechanic when they reconnected.
Okay.
And so they got back in touch. Austin showed him his what they call the salsa garden, where he, you know, grew a lot of peppers and tomatoes and onions and all those things. And they basically looked at the remaining peppers of the season and were like, well, let's make a hot sauce. And, you know, one with the culinary background had, you know, ideas to tinker with. And so they, so what they did is they created a batch of hot sauce with the remaining items they grew, gave them away as Christmas gifts that year to family. They said, if you like this, you know, and that was something where they tried it. And, you know, it said in a couple articles where, you know, you make your own sauce. You think it's good. We made hot sauce on National Hot Sauce Day and just tried it out. And we were like, yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
But also you give these to a friend or family. For me, you know, certain family that'll be more critical and honest than others, where it's like, give it to them and see what they say.
Yeah.
I'm not calling anyone out in my family. But they gave them those Christmas gifts and said, if you want this next year, you need to pay us. I mean, it was like, I'm sure it took a lot to put them together and make them. So,
did they say how many bottles at all?
They didn't say how many bottles for that, but they did say that then people, you know, were willing to pay for the sauce next year. And then what they did was they brought, I do have the amount here, they brought 120 bottles to a farmer's market to test it on the market. Those 120 bottles lasted 3 hours.
Really?
Which we've heard that story a few times of, you test it out with family and friends. You see what's going on.
Yeah.
You bring it to a market just to kind of see. And whatever the number is, just it's
takes
like
off.
Gone.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have the farmer's market here in Grand Rapids that, I mean, there was no hot sauce booth for a while. And now there's one, the Fat Baby Hot Sauce, which we will try in the next few weeks.
Yeah, there's
or so.
there's one and a half. There's another one that does like Bloody Mary mixes. They have some hot sauce in there. But, yeah.
But, yeah, it's just one where when you're that – hot sauce maker at the market, and you see how it is, like, you know, if depends also on the clientele that comes through, because some are the tolerances are different, but they killed it 3 hours and they were done. Austin had originally set funds aside to start his own HVAC company while he was working in HVAC, and basically he took that money to help them start up the sauce company, which it was known in the article he has since gotten that money back. I'm like, that would have been a real 2012, still waiting to get paid back. But so they used that money to start it up. In 2014, I believe it was, they won their first Screamin' Mimi Award with their black garlic hot sauce. And they've been winning Screamin' Mimi Awards. I've seen a bunch of awards on their Instagram through the years. Their Indian Summer has won a lot of awards. This Taco Ghost has won awards. I think it was in 2018 that they won an award for this one. But just a lot of awards, you know, pretty early on. And then, 2015, they won the Screamin' Mimi Award. And one of the things that I think sets them apart, especially back when they first started, they are very focused on local farming, locally sourcing all their products. There even was a quote from one of them saying, embrace the garden in our garden state, because they're from New Jersey.
Yeah.
So
that's got to be so stressful to say, like, we're sticking local.
Because
it's like, you know... And I guess I'm curious on people's perception of what's your radius of local.
Well, they do list on their website. They do list a few farms because they list their farmers.
Okay.
So oh, that's they cool. have you know, RH Farm in Hackettstown, New Jersey, Harvest Drop in Windsor, Kimball's Farm in Great Meadows, Meadowview Farm in Cutstown. But again, that I mean, New Jersey's not a huge state, so keeping it within New Jersey, I think, is to me would be local enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if we were sauce makers and we said we keep everything local, I think if we kept it in Michigan, I think that's still decent compared to what some other places. I mean, California's got a lot of kind of got a cheat code. Texas too, they're pretty big.
Right.
Alaska's big, but they don't have. There's not as many farms.
You're good
up
for
there.
About. But potatoes, and that's it up there.
I read an article because they originally were growing their peppers, and then I read an article from like 2015 or 2016 where they had like a 1,700 plants. Was it 1,700 plants at a farm? Like they had a larger setup. So I'm like, okay, so they've grown you know, growing the peppers through there. But mm-hmm. yeah, they locally source, they focus on the local farms.
Well, that's cool. Can you imagine how stressful that's got to be for the farmers to be like, I'm this guy's ex-pepper producer?
I'm sure it's something that they do it for a lot of, you know, that's what they do where they grow stuff for farms to distribute to grocery, where it's like that's how they make their money. Yeah. So I'm sure there's a little bit of that. But, I mean, when it is a smaller company, I'm sure there's a level of stress to say, well, I don't want to mess up this guy's business.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you supply to, like, a Meijer or a big chain grocery store, yeah, they're –
they have some redundancy probably mm-hmm. with farmers, but if you're sticking just local, helping out a small business, and that small business company is based on yeah. just your row of peppers.
If something were to happen to that farm in some
yeah.
kind of cataclysmic way, like
yeah, natural like the disaster smaller you go, the less tolerance there is. That's got to be pretty stressful.
Oh, I'm sure. And the thing you mentioned about how like the struggle of keeping things local, I think of where it's really easy to order something on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Can have it here tomorrow, cheap rate, you know, can get yeah. it as cheap as I want. But then going to a store, having to physically go to a store that maybe doesn't have online shopping, maybe costs more, maybe they don't have it quite yet and you have to wait for them to like get it delivered in or something. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot more effort and it's very focused effort to keep things local, but there's a bigger benefit. We've posted a few times on our Instagram page recently how the big chains aren't going to, you know, but the difference between you ordering something from a big chain for Christmas and not is not affecting them really hardly in any way.
Yeah.
But the effect of you purchasing Christmas gifts from a local place or from a mom and pop place or something like that could be the difference between them having a good or bad season.
Oh, yeah. That's a couple orders is like a make or break mm-hmm. for, you know, small yeah. companies.
So it's one of those where I'm sure everyone would love to keep local, to do local, all that. But it's something where the people that actually follow through and do it, it's a, you know, focused effort, and that's really admirable to see. And we've been lucky enough to have a lot of hot sauce makers that have done that. But this is a company that was doing it early on. You know, we're talking about over 10 years ago that they've
been making sauce. Yeah, they're way ahead of COVID.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be really curious kind of their perspective of just how the hot sauce world from 2012 to now. I mean, same thing with Lucky Dog, mm-hmm. where it's like how things have changed and evolved, because 2020 was a rough year as far as, you know, sales and markets and all that. But also the boom to sauce making, which then ended up with a boom of focus on there yeah. after. I'm just curious on that dynamic.
It's I was talking to my older brother about this yesterday because he was talking to a business owner. And I won't go into too much detail, but so this business owner, it's 100%. Like a back burner hobby pre-COVID that no one yeah. really ever thought about. It's just, it was kind of popular. It's not a very big footprint. It's very passive. And you would think something like COVID that brought down big legitimate businesses just absolutely wrecked them, that you would think are necessary in everyday life.
Yeah.
What COVID did to this small company, what they were telling my older brother yesterday was they actually had to close some of their they had like classroom space mm-hmm. for like seminars and stuff.
Yeah.
They actually had to close those down to keep as stock rooms because during COVID, this side back burner hobby took off so much
yeah.
that they just couldn't keep up with anything. So to maintain stock, they actually said, all right, we're making just this classroom space just a stock room now.
Sure.
And they said it has not slowed down since. And it's just crazy. Like I said, everyday businesses that you would think are necessary, a lot of them shut down because of COVID. These other ones that are like hot sauce. Do you need hot sauce? No. Okay. You know what I mean, though?
Yes,
it's
I
not
understand
like
what you mean.
Your doctor's never going to be like, you need more hot sauce in your diet. You know?
That'd be something. I'm like, can I get that in writing on a t-shirt?
I had a doctor tell me, he's like, you need to sit in your tree stand more and hunt more, because my eye kept twitching. And I was at the eye doctor, and he's like, listen, man, get in the tree stand. You're stressed out. Stop working. Just go sit in the tree. And I told Courtney, I'm like, hey, doctor's orders. I'm not going to argue with the doctor.
Eye twitches are the worst.
But yeah, that just hot sauce included, where like, no, you do not need it every day to survive. But COVID caused these things to really take off and go mainstream, where people yeah. are like, well, shoot. You know, I'm gardening at home now. What do I do with all these hot peppers I grew? Because I'm not just going to raw dog them. you know, and then people start making hot sauce and then get more into it. And it's just really, really weird how that affected. It made people realize that there's more to life than just the serious things.
I think
which
that's
kind of neat.
I think that's the thing where with, and not to get in a whole COVID tangent, with the way that people, you know, they got sent home, they're working, whether they're working from home or not working at all, it made them, yeah, focus on the things that they are passionate about and they're appreciative of. And it might not be that they started making hot sauce, but they started trying new things and they discovered they liked hot sauce. So then they were researching all these things.
Yeah. And,
I mean, we weren't, I don't think we would be considered a COVID podcast because we started in 2022, but it is something where the boom of hot sauce makers, it's really, there was bread makers. People just got into baking bread. And then there's a lot of people that got into making hot sauce or growing pepper plants.
Yeah.
And so
I think my guess is it started from gardening.
I'm sure.
Because you go to the store and you're like, oh, shoot, I'll just buy some of these seeds. I'll buy some of these. I'll buy some of these. And all of a sudden you're like, well, what do I do with the 19 pounds of peppers I just grew?
Yeah. One of my my brother-in-law, his son-in-law was growing plants and he grew a bunch of reapers. And he's like, well, yeah, I used a reaper in like making this big whole thing of salsa.
I used a reaper.
He's like, now I've got, you know, a pound of reapers.
Yeah.
What am I doing with that?
Right.
And I'm like, throw some vinegar in there and some garlic.
Right.
You know, just make your own, you know, version of La Muerte. But it is something where, yeah, I think it's stemmed from gardening. The manliest gardening is growing peppers. If you're like, oh, I'm gardening, someone's like, oh, I'm growing some kale. It's like, no, Carolina reapers, boot jalokias.
So we just bought a house.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited to start gardening.
Yeah, we got to grow that pepper farm so we can start.
I want to grow peppers, and I want a butterfly garden.
Okay.
I love the idea of native flowers.
Yeah.
For pollinators. Mm-hmm. Like if you grow, like if you go to Flowerland, you're getting a lot of, you know, like big box plants where, sure, it's like, well, that's not natural around here. That's not native. Mm-hmm. Native flowers and plants for pollinators just do way more for them. Mm-hmm. I want peppers and I want a butterfly garden.
We had a little patch in the back that had some butterflies in there. And I did want to look at like growing some like either milkweed or some type of plants of just,
yeah,
to help with the butterflies because it is nice to see back there. And we've had a few deer come back there too, but for the most part, we had also a hawk. It looked like maybe it was an eagle in the back for a while. I'm like, yeah, get rid of those mice.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that would be fun. That would be and that's fun for the kids, like the butterfly. They'd be more interested in the butterfly thing than the gardening.
Yeah.
So, we just keep eating the sauce. Like we're down past the neck of it already.
I didn't think we'd be able to slam it how we have.
So
being a ghost.
But the ghost isn't bad. I mean,
no. You get the flavor of it.
You definitely get the flavor. You definitely get the heat. It doesn't with any pepper, it can vary based on how it's used, how much it's used, if it's cooked down, if it's powder or fresh or whatnot. But it's a good burn. It's a solid burn. I'm not sweating. I'm not, you know, doing anything like that. It's not one where I need a headband, like a basketball headband on my on my head, which I really want to get. But it's just a really well balanced. It's a good enough sauce where if you put that over a wet burrito, I don't think it's the quintessential wet burrito sauce, but it's a really good sauce to smother over there. The problem would be I'd lose this whole bottle on that burrito. Oh, and yeah. I don't think I'm ready to just give up that whole bottle on one meal. Oh, it'd be great, but then I'd have to order more. So then I have to see where they're at because I don't know if they're going to be at the Fiery Food Show. So far, all systems are go for me to go to the Fiery Food Show next year. I'm excited.
Nice.
A lot of sauce makers. I'm a little worried about the temptation of buying all the sauce.
Yeah.
But we do need to stock up. I mean, we've been going off of the Boston Fest sauces, some random ones that people have sent to us, some purchases we've proactively decided to make, and the huge raffle we got from Stanky Sauce.
Yeah. I can't believe how long that hung out.
We've been riding that wave for a while.
Right.
So Fiery Food Show might be the next one. Illinois. I'd love to get back to the Boston show. That was a really fun one, and that was the first one I went to. So that might be the three that I'll try to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The Illinois one's easy for us to do.
Yeah.
Simple drive. The Fiery Food Show, you know, we'll keep you posted on Mike's status on that one. It's something where buying a house does put a little wrinkle in figuring out the budget for that, I'm sure.
A little bit, yeah. Like, we're obviously we wouldn't buy a house if we couldn't buy a house.
And that's not the amount that everybody does.
But yeah, it's like when your budget gets impacted like that, you're like, sure. Man.
There's that initial moment where it's just like, we're not buying anything.
But it's all perspective, where it's like when we were in college, we're like, oh gosh, how on earth are we going to afford an apartment? And then you afford an apartment and you're fine. Budget and then it. How on earth are you going to afford a dog? And then we get a dog and then we're fine. And how on earth are we going to afford a kid? And then we have a kid and then we're fine. And
kid is a better one. Dog, people just go like, I want a dog. Like, and I could tell Andrew, like, hey, budget-wise, like, this just doesn't make any sense. She's like, I hear you. We're getting a dog.
Yeah.
Hop on board.
Right.
This is what we're doing.
I feel like that's what makes a good budgeter, though. Mm-hmm. Like, can you do it? Sure. Yeah, you can do anything. Yeah. Even though my bank account says I can do it, I'm still hesitant to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're better off being overly cautious. And then
instead of the other way, be like, oh, sweet, my credit card allows for me to rack up this much more.
I traditionally am the one where Angela's like, why are you nervous about this? We have the money for it. I'm like, I know, but I'm still nervous.
Yeah, because I'm 1/8 Dutch. What do you think?
Yeah, it's the Dutch. Part Dutch, I'm part Jewish. I play into the stereotypes. You know, sorry, Grandpa. But anyway, let's move on from that. Good background on. We had a nice COVID talk. We had a nice update on personal
ethnicities.
I was going to say personal moves, home purchases. But let's get into some fun facts on this sauce. So I feel like we don't, like, I know that I go through like the scoring and I sometimes recap, like, here's how we score. I feel like I don't do this often. So with every sauce that we try, we bring facts to the table. We started this on our quick fires where we were doing fun facts on that. And then Hook and Arrow was like, why don't you do that for like every episode? Just bring a fact in. So we bring a fact to the table, whether it's about an ingredient, the name, something ancillary that, hey, I saw this bottle and it made me think of this. And it just lets you learn a little bit of something on the episodes. So would you like to go first or second for today's fun fact?
I'll go first.
Okay. You went into historic barn fires in
U.S.
history.
I did.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so I was looking at this, and I'm like, I didn't even search barn fires, but I'm like, I wonder if there's some stuff to barn fires.
Oh, yeah.
That's really funny.
There's enough barn fires to the point where there's an organization that now tracks barn fires and the impact it has on livestock mortality, which is pretty sad. This isn't like a happy fact here.
That's you know, they say that like the most depressed profession is dentist, I think it is, where, like, they have some of the worst, you know, depression and suicide rates and things like that. I'm sure tracking the deaths of cattle and livestock and barn fires isn't a great uplifting one.
Yeah, you don't come home and you're like, damn it, honey, that was a great day.
I had a great day. I tracked so many dead cattle.
Yeah, we're about to get into dead cattle here.
Let's do it.
So one of the largest barn fires in history in the USA was in Texas in 20, I don't know when it was. It was recent. It was after 2013.
Okay.
This barn fire started in Texas, killing 19,000 dairy cows.
Oh, my gosh.
19,000 dairy cows. So to put that into perspective, and that was 90% of the farm's total herd, a dairy cow can produce 7.5 gallons of milk per day, and that is 142,500 daily gallons of milk that farmer lost, which comes out to 42,750,000 gallons per year, because dairy cow produces for about 10 months a year. So almost 43 million gallons. In dollar amounts, if you're assuming milk is $3 a gallon, that is $128,250,000 from one barn fire that this guy lost. So that's just in the value of the milk that cattle produces.
Yeah.
That's not including your structure. That's not including everything that goes along with that.
Yeah, anything that was built up or in that barn that you would have to replace. I just hope he has good insurance.
Yeah.
That's one of those where...
Can you imagine that insurance company just being like... So what happened?
Be like, that's where, you know, my dad injured his back where he had to go on disability. He was self-employed. And my parents for years were like, man, we're paying such high insurance premiums, you know, for being self-employed and like, you know, not, you know, breaking the bank on the job. It's like, why are we paying such high premiums? And then he broke his back. And then they're like, oh, that's why. Yeah. So where I feel like that's the same thing where I'm sure the premiums on a farm like that would be high. But then when something like that happens, hopefully that's where it makes it worth it. I'd hate to think that negatively, like, just like didn't help them or wasn't able to recoup some of that.
Yeah. I will compliment you on the fact that you just missed about a third of your spoon with that pour.
Yeah, I'm just focused on the conversation. It's a big dollop on the blanket.
But yeah, that's quite the old barn fire there.
Man.
I don't know how many square foot the building was, but to fit 20,000 cows.
Yeah.
Almost 20,000 in a building.
Yeah, because the ones, I mean, I've seen like the Iowa farmer that posts a lot of cow videos and stuff. And, you know, yeah, you have them kind of in their slots or whatever. But there's also different things where they have to move around and they'll come in to get milked and there's different areas to move. So it's like you just take the space alone for each cow plus all of those. Then you add the cost of like the machinery that they would be using.
And oh, yeah. If you're losing just $128 million in the milk in the end product, he probably is out. I don't know. My guess would be $250 million to $500 million in total equipment and everything. That's insane.
Dang.
But yeah, anyways, depressing. Good hot sauce, though.
Great hot sauce. All right. So where do you think I went since I didn't go barn fire?
I think you went with the state of Jersey.
I thought about that. I thought about the state of Jersey, or I thought about just straight up doing something about athletic jerseys, which I think would be interesting to look into some of that. But I went more on the nose. I went into the ghost pepper.
Okay.
I found something about the ghost pepper that I thought was unique that we have not brought up. So did you know that the ghost pepper, which is originated in India, do you know in India, the villagers within or near the wilderness in India would use ghost peppers as a tactic to keep their property, people, and crops safe from wild elephants, where they would smother it on fences and walls because they negatively are affected by the peppers just like anybody else.
Yeah.
So that was defense tactic. So this is a little nicer to the animals than the barn fire.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Because I got to believe an elephant's trunk is a pretty darn sensitive organ for him. Can you imagine just like 7 feet
of ghost pepper?
Of ghost pepper in there.
I think of like how bad my nose gets with like wasabi or horseradish.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, like that's rough. Just take that and make it like 6 feet long.
Yeah. And just animals like in general. I had a glass of red wine the other night and my golden retriever just like kind of almost sniffed it from like a foot away.
Yeah.
And just like jerked her head back and was like pawing at her nose from like the, you know, you get the little alcohol fumes off from especially wine.
Sure.
For that to be that sensitive on a dog, I got to believe an elephant huffing some ghost pepper would just get blown away.
So I get that it's a deterrent to keep them away. And hopefully like the closer they get, they can sense it and smell it. Because I mean, you think of when you dump something into the garbage disposal that has hot peppers in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't have to be right there. You don't even have to be in the same room and you're like,
vaporize it.
What the hell is that? So hopefully it's like they stay far enough away as they get closer. They're like, oh, I smell something bad. I'm going the other way. But I just think if it were to like, if they got close enough where it went up into that trunk.
Yeah.
That I would have an elephant on a, like a capsaicin panic rampage.
Right.
Like, I don't think of like, oh yeah, I'll just keep them away and they'll keep moving along. It also said that it's not just for elephants though, but it also keeps also some like people away where I'm like, I can imagine someone trying to climb a fence and be like, what is this on my hands? And then like
rubbing it. How does it keep the people away? I mean,
it's covered with capsaicin. I mean, you can't focus. If you get on your hands trying to climb a fence.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be a bad time.
Yeah.
I don't know how much. I could be curious when they say like smother it. I'm like, how many peppers are we using on these walls and fences?
Yeah. I'm gonna put ghost pepper on your office doorknob and just see if you can get in there.
Oh, I open the doorknob with my foot, so
okay.
I usually have my hands full, so I just like kick the handle and kick it through. But nice try.
That is funny though. Is that an old school tactic or that's
I'm assuming
still
it's
used
an old
today?
School tactic. It didn't have a date of like when they started or if they still do it, but
okay.
That was It was in a list of fun facts that had some more historical ones.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's an older way. I'm sure there's better ways now. Use a broom.
You run down to Ace Hardware and pick up some elephant deterrent.
Yeah. Just
main ingredient, ghost pepper.
Paint Mickey Mouse all over the walls. They're afraid of him.
I just watched that Mythbusters. That's actually a true thing.
What, they're afraid of mouses? Mice? Yeah. Mouses? Mises?
Mice, yeah.
They're afraid of the Mises?
You've never seen that one?
Mm-mm.
No, they've got a...
I don't watch as much Mythbusters as you do.
We're almost done. We watched all, I think it's 21 seasons.
I see a lot of YouTube clips.
Yeah.
So
I love Mythbusters. I think... So I liked science before that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Mythbusters expanded something for me.
Sure.
And my brothers, we just all love that show, and we're all kind of just cookie-cutter human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably why I like science, is when you're a little kid, they seem like the most, like, to-the-T scientists.
Yeah.
And then when you watch it as an adult, you realize that these are just special effects guys that have no idea what they're doing, but they're smart.
Sure.
And they can teach themselves things, you know, and... You think they're just mad scientists, but it's like, well, these guys just work on Star Wars sets, and now they're just pretty much bomb experts and physicists.
Yeah.
But it's funny. So you watch the early episodes. You're like, how do you guys know all this stuff? Have you seen the little engineering pocket references? I've talked about them before.
Yeah, you've talked about them.
The little black books.
Yeah, I haven't looked into it because you...
They reference those all the time. Yeah, I did tell you not to read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's only like a couple thousand pages. Next episode that we do... In the beginning, I'll have to cover. There's one page specifically on peppers that I want to cover with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty comical.
Okay.
Yeah. Even in the 2020 version, I think it needs to be updated. So.
Interesting.
More to come. Teaser.
All right. Well, let's get into the score on this sauce. So, again, this sauce, it says smoked ghost taco. Absolutely, you can put it on tacos, nachos, burritos, really any Mexican dish, like they said. I would argue that you could throw this into a little bit of mayo and have a really good sandwich spread of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
I would I always am resistant to list sour cream or mayo because after editing so many podcasts, I'm like, man, we mix a lot of stuff with sour cream. But it's also just a Midwest thing to do.
Yeah.
And also plain sour cream versus hot sauce infused sour cream.
Why not?
There's no option.
Yeah.
It's like a no-brainer. So want to know what actually be really good? Rodeo burger. Make your own rodeo burger, but instead of barbecue sauce.
That would be good.
Do a smoked ghost taco rodeo burger in honor of Burger King, but not actually from Burger King because they're fine. Burger King, like Little Caesars, they just do the thing.
Yeah.
They're like, we're just going to do the thing. I think I mentioned last episode they did the halvesies.
Like rodeo burgers are, to me, like top tier food. Up there.
I mean, the definition of top tier would be. You'd have to explain that a little bit because to me there's different.
I don't feel like garbage after I swallow three of them. If I swallowed three Big Macs.
That's more of a you problem.
If I swallowed one Big Mac, I would hate my life.
Top tier fast food option.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's
Let's
better.
Do that. Yeah.
Top tier mid fast food option.
Courtney, we're having a top tier dinner tonight.
Like I think it competes with rodeo burgers. Red Lobster, yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. I like Red Lobster, so.
I mean, it's on the list. So, yeah, this one is fantastic. Again, the tomato, the spices, the garlic, the onion, that ghost pepper is hot enough to where, so on a scale of 0 to 5, you know, 0 being no heat, 1 being presence, 2 being like reacting a little bit, 3 being, you know, sweating, snotting, all that stuff, 4 good pain, 5 bad pain. This is a high 2.
I just 2.
I feel like if I kept having it, I could get a reaction,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's just a solid 2 where it's like a strong heat, but it's not negatively affecting me in any way that I can't, you know, function.
Yeah. If you're ghost pepper curious, this is a good one.
This is a good ghost pepper one for someone that's trying to get into that heat. As far as the score out of 100, I had this as an 89.
I had 86.
Yeah. This is a fantastic taco sauce.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic hot sauce. I'm surprised. I know their Indian Summer has been probably their most award-winning from what I've seen. I'm kind of surprised that they haven't won as many awards on this taco one. But let's see. I do. Indian Summer is the other bottle that I bought. So mustard-based. Yes. Okay. I'm excited. Get excited. I'm excited. So, yeah, that's a fantastic sauce. Jersey Barn Fire, again, their website, jerseybarnfire.com. Their Instagram is just like you would think, Jersey Barn Fire on their Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We have a Twitter I never use.
I learn about websites we have.
I talk about social media with you, and then I go, yeah, there's this social media. We have one.
Yeah, we have a Pinterest. We have Pinterest, is still a thing.
Never used it. If I could, I'd give us a Zynga and a MySpace, too.
I Googled the heat source the other day just to see what popped up.
Yeah.
We're on platforms, podcast platforms that I did not know existed.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're on, that's where we just go through one server site and it just sends it to all of them.
Yeah, but I didn't know there was.
You didn't know how many podcasts?
I figured there's like three or four, but there's dozens of them out there.
Also, just a fun fact, since, you know, the one of the founders, Austin, used to work in HVAC. The heat source, when I try to search stuff, get a lot of HVAC. A lot of HVAC stuff when I try to search the heat source. I'm like, ever tried to like brand and do stuff like that, I feel like we'd be fighting more HVAC people than anyone else.
That's so funny. It's like my parents' old neighbor. He started an electrical company. That's the name of the company, is the electric company.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what a genius play.
I mean, some of the things, I mean, that's where any big new social media thing that comes out, you try to get the most easy general name. I mean, I don't
like sauce.
I don't like to bring it up, but like sauce on Instagram, that's a great, you know, a great one to have. Any Twitter account or anything else where they're like, oh, it's just this, and they're like, no numbers or weird things. Like, nope, just.
That's an awful idea. That's like getting the handle like cats, and then it's a whole page devoted to just hairless cats.
I would have it be devoted to nothing but the Cats Broadway musical.
That's what it is.
Is yes. it?
No, I mean that. Oh. I'm just saying that's the comparison right there. Is if you just got the can't handle cats, you know, you could make it the coolest cat page out there.
Yeah.
But you picked
anyway
a bunch of humans dressed up as cats, and you dropped the ball. It's successful. It's music. On Broadway.
Great music.
You dropped the ball, though.
My mom listens to that soundtrack all the time. I know way more cat songs. I know more cat songs than probably any other.
I can't tell if you're goofing with me right now,
Mr. Mistopheles. Anyway, so before we wrap up on here, we do have a fun announcement to make. So I posted on Instagram a couple days ago that we're almost to 1,000 followers, and once we hit 1,000 followers, we're going to have a giveaway. And then I was thinking about it. I talked to my friend Mark about it. We were talking about kind of like following and, you know, the loyalty of people following and interacting and all that. And I told you, I was like, why am I putting value in like five more people to hit 1,000 to do a giveaway instead of just doing a giveaway for the people that are actually already there?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of back when I used to work in call centers for like cable companies. They're like, you're giving all these great deals to the new people. We've been here forever.
Right.
So we're just going to kick it off now.
Okay.
If we or when we hit 1,000, cool. This is the giveaway that was for that. But this is our 1,000 follower giveaway before we hit 1,000 followers. We're going to start today. We'll post on Instagram about the giveaway. It'll run through Tuesday of next week. So we're going to run 6-7 days. From the post about the giveaway, you comment, you tag someone up to 3 people, you get 3 entries. If you share the story, you get 2 bonus entries, so you can have up to 5 entries on this thing. And the giveaway that we're doing, we're actually going to be running through Scoville, who we've used before. They have an online store. They're Battle Creek, Michigan-based people. We're from Michigan, so fun to support the local people here. And we're going to use their site to order the sauce to give away. What we're going to do, you don't know what sauce we're going to give you yet, because here's the thing. We're going to give you 3 bottles of hot sauce. When you win, we're going to ask you if you want mild or hot. No in between. Do you want a mild set? Do you want a hot set? The reason I do that is I have a friend, actually, my brother-in-law, he tried to do the last giveaway. He does not handle heat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what are you going to do with a ghost pepper sauce or a Reaper sauce? Like, what are you going to do with that? He's like, I don't know, but I'll win. I'm like, okay. So this is for whether you have a mild tolerance or a hot tolerance. We'll customize a 3-bottle set. We'll pick them out. Ideally, ones we've tried before. We'll also talk to Scoville if they have any recommendations, but it'll be a curated box of mild or hot for you. And that's the benefit of the Scoville site. You can pick from a bunch of sauce makers. So look for that post later today. That'll run through Tuesday. What day is that? Tuesday, December
12th.
12th? Yes, Tuesday, December 12th. We'll end it at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday, December 12th. We'll announce the giveaway. We'll jump on Instagram Live or something and do that. And then we'll reach out and figure out mild or hot for that package. So we're going to do that giveaway. And if we hit 1,000 followers from that, cool. But honestly, it's just a big thank you to everybody that's been following us for as long as you have. I mean, we were starting to look at our recaps for the year, and it's just like the amount of progression this podcast has made, and through Instagram, through the podcast itself, just through interaction, and the way the people that we originally looked at as like these brand new people that we didn't have anything, you know, in common with, as far as just haven't talked to them, to now there's people that I would consider friends in mm-hmm. the industry, where it's like, it's just grown in a way where it's like, this is a big thank you for that.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that giveaway. We're going to announce that on our Instagram. But really, if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, you'll be able to do it. We'll post it on both. The Facebook, I always forget about. I always feel bad about that.
It seems to be picking up steam, though.
It is.
I get a lot of notifications from...
I've been trying to include it more.
Yeah.
So here's full disclosure. So we run everything ourselves. We don't use any other outside sources or any programs to do all of our socials. And so it's easy to forget that, like, oh, we have a Twitter, a Thread, a YouTube channel. What's the other one? TikTok. TikTok has gained some steam.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't even TikTok. I don't even know what that is. Should have my daughter run that one. And then all the other ones that are out there. Gary Vee keeps telling me that I should be doing stuff, and I'm not personally, but he tells me I should be doing stuff on his videos, and I'm like, I should totally do that. What's that one?
It's funny. You know how he sends like the messages to his followers? Anytime one of those pops up, I'm like, no, Gary Vee messaged us, and I'm like, oh, that went to everyone.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a disappointment. But yeah, so we'll be doing that giveaway. We'll post that. Jersey Barnfire again, fantastic sauce. We'll be trying their Indian Summer in the new year. We're trying to get some more new brands reviewed before we get to the end of the year, and then we'll be restocking in Albuquerque on some newer brands as well. But also just a couple thank yous. Thank you to Summit 6 Design for any graphic or logo design needs. Reach out to them. They designed our logo, and we appreciate it. Also, a special thank you to Angry Baba Sauce, which we have not tried yet, but they messaged us. I posted about the 1,000 follower thing. He had a lot of really good constructive feedback on ways that we could help promote our podcast and help promote, promote the brand and do different work. And I really appreciate him just giving that information. Even though we haven't tried their sauce, we haven't gotten their sauce yet. It's something where he follows on Instagram. He's listened to the podcast and likes what we're doing. So appreciate all of his help there. And also a special thank you to Cast Iron Kyle, because without him, we would not have as quickly found Jersey Barnfire. And so pretty happy that we did. And lastly, just thank you again for anyone listening. However you listen, we do appreciate you. Follow us on Instagram at the Heat Source Podcast for all updates. Send us a message on there or email us at theheatsourcepod@gmail.com for any feedback, requests, or any other comments. And really, I check the email every day. If you guys have hot sauce suggestions, it doesn't have to be your brand. It could be ones that you've tried or you think that we would enjoy. Or we talked about, we haven't tried a lot of like super hot ones since like the Mommy Sauce on La Muerte 2.0 or One Drop. Maybe there's a really hot one that you think is really good, or maybe there's a hot one that you think we should be hurt and punished for, and let us know.
We should do one that just
there's that spicy chocolate from 13 Stars they just came out with.
Yeah.
Has me worried. I've never had capsaicin cramps yet. I said yet. But tune in again next week when potentially either next week or the following we'll be having Cast Iron Kyle on, so we'll have him, and we have couple more sauces to fit in before the new year, before our special end of year episode, which we've never done a special end of year episode. So stay tuned.
See ya.
Also, we have an infestation that we're dealing with.
Infestation.
In the house.
Infestation. Oh, yeah. I don't know why you said that weird. Well, it'd be like someone saying, I rode my bicycle here.
Well, yeah, my bicycle is in the garage.
Okay. It's not spiders, is it?
No, it's chameleons, but we're not sure.
Chameleons?
Yeah, but we're just not sure if they are here or not.
So, once again, my literal walnut brain.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching a lot of invasive chameleon videos from Florida, like Miami-Dade, and I think Sarasota County have an infestation of chameleons. And there's people on Instagram now that just go out at night. All they do is look for chameleons in the area that we regularly vacation to.
Well, that's cool.
So, yes, I will be looking for an infestation of chameleons.
It was a joke someone said that was really dumb. And I'm like, this is dumb enough for me to bring up. So